We look this afternoon again at the Lord's study, and I'm going to give you the scripture, but I'm going to do a little catching up just because we did take a week off with Isaac teaching for us last week, and I'm certainly thankful that he did. But I found a few maps of the temple, not great ones as I've illustrated, but again, I've emailed, anybody who's listened to this probably got that email. I emailed you a version which you can zoom in on if you follow that link, and we may need this in the next few weeks. So I'm going to give you the text, and then I'm going to catch you up using the maps that we do have. While I'm giving you the text, if you have Bible maps in the back of your Bible of the temple, you might want to turn there. We don't teach like this every time, but this is fun. I like it. And this will give you a better idea where, maybe even where the Lord's standing for some of these events. Today's event is Christ's unanswerable question. He's answered their questions. He's gone through their controversial questions that they've laid out. And then he delivers one unanswerable question to them. We see it in Matthew 22, 41 through 46, Mark 12, 35 through 37, and Luke 20, verses 41 through 44. We'll start with the Matthew account in Matthew 22. Again, if you have the outlines, I've underlined the things that are different between each account, and I'll try to give that to everyone else as well as we go. Matthew 22, verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." Now, from "what think ye of Christ" all the way to "the son of David," that particular phrasing is exclusive to Matthew. He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Mark's account, Mark 12, starting in verse 35. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, that while he taught in the temple is exclusive to Mark, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son?" And this last part is exclusive to Mark as well. "And the common people heard him gladly." So Matthew tells us that the Pharisaicals, those who have been gathered to question him or present controversies, they are speechless with no more questions. The common people heard him gladly. Praise the Lord. Dr. Luke's account, Luke 20, starting in verse 41. "And he said unto them, How say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself say in the book of Psalms," that's the only exclusive part for Luke, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son?" So just a little bit of catch up, because again, we've not been in this study for at least a few weeks, some for months. And again, if you can't see it, I apologize. I sent you a link with a better map, but this is Jerusalem. This is the temple. Everybody see the temple? Raise your hand if you see the court of women in this little image that I'm pointing at. No? Okay. This is the best blow up I have of Jerusalem proper. I'll do my best. If you're looking at it on your phone, you can at least extrapolate what I'm pointing at. Here's the temple. This is Jerusalem. Here's the temple. This is the Mount of Olives. Jesus has come in from the Mount of Olives, likely came through the gate right here, but he's going to go back out, and I think two events. He's going to sit at the Mount of Olives on the temple side of it. So he's going in and out across the valley of Kedron. And again, here's the temple. As he's teaching, and I have another one above my shoulder I'm going to point out in a minute. As he's teaching, he's going from east to west. He's progressively headed towards Golgotha, or Golgotha, however it is you want to pronounce it. It's right here. It's directly west of where the temple points. So again, here's the temple right here. This is the court of the Gentiles on the outside. So when he cleansed the temple a few lessons back, he likely did it right here at the beautiful gate, likely in the presence of Gentiles and those inside the temple can hear inside that, its biggest opening as well. And then he works his way in, which we'll see one lesson from now. He's in the court of women as they're starting to deposit into the treasury. That whole conversation takes place here in the court of women. That conversation that happens there likely also happens on these steps. There's about 15 curved steps that head into the court of Israel. And again, he's progressing from east to west, going through the temple itself. If you have that map up, or if you look at it tonight, it's labeled well enough that if you paid attention there, you should be able to follow all that as well. But I would encourage you, and it won't bother me at all, if you have a phone that you have that on, for the next couple of afternoon lessons at least, to have that available. Rebecca and I are going to try and print it, but if we can't, at least you'll be able to kind of follow through where he's at. Now, again, the controversies had passed. These are all the political questions that the Herodians had presented, the doctrinal questions from the Sadducees, the legal questions from the Pharisees. All of that is now behind us, so Jesus delivers a question of his own. He asked them a question directly connected to the Messianic Psalm, Psalm 110. So listen to Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, this is a Psalm of David. As Charlie pointed out earlier, it's pretty easy to tell when we have those sometimes, and this is one of them. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of mine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. If you've never heard the name Melchizedek before, I urge you to go back and listen to some of the audio sermons from Genesis on Podbean. Melchizedek is the priest that Abraham tithes to. He interacts with after one of his victories. Very, very good lesson. It also points to, may even be Christ, but I want you to go look that up. If you didn't haven't heard it before, you should. And Melchizedek comes back up again in Hebrews, I believe, and I tried to make that connection as best I could at that time. But that's what's mentioned here in this psalm, that Jesus literally points to the psalm. The psalm figuratively points back at Jesus, like he's looking in a mirror. And he says, explain it. He says, how could the Lord be his Lord and his son? How can it be so? We don't get the third person perspective this time of the Pharisees, the Herodians, or the Sadducees reasoning within themselves that, well, if we say this is how, then it means this. There's no reasoning expressed at all. Between the three accounts, we see the common people are glad. They receive it joyfully. The hyper-intelligent people have nothing to say. And Luke's account just simply ends with the question, how is he then his son? Jesus asked the final and most important question of the day, and it puts them to silence. Matthew 22:46. Listen to Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Should warn you, this particular event, though it's short for me, has a lot of page turning for you. So if you're looking at a digital Bible like Charlie is, you'll be fine. But I'll prove it. It's very, very short, but there's a lot to turn to. Still probably be a pretty long message. I'm not saying it'll be a short message. I know better than that. So when he rode into the city, Jesus had been called the Son of David. We saw this in Matthew 21:9. He was called the Son of David by the crowds. He's not speaking out of context here. He's not even introducing a new theme. That day started, or the week, rather, started with him being called the Son of David. So he's literally calling to remembrance. You remember when I came into town? Remember when I came in on the east side of the temple? When I entered in at that gate? And the people called me the Son of David. How then can I also be his Lord? The children had echoed his cry in the temple, Matthew 21:15. This was, of course, a messianic title, which explains why the Pharisees wanted to silence the people. Remember Luke 19:39-40. This is all very recent stuff, but we're backtracking a little bit because we've missed a few Sundays on this lesson. They all were required of the Pharisees to be silent. The Pharisees even approached, some of the ones who were even believers, approached Jesus and said, do you hear what they're saying? This is only going to get worse. It's going to get ugly. They're quoting from this psalm, Psalm 110. And Jesus asked them to explain how David's Lord could also be David's son, and they would not answer. The answer is that David's Lord had to become man. But the theologians refused to face the implications of both the question and the most logical answer. Their knowledge of the Word of God was shallow, and their submission to it very insincere. I know you've heard this a lot. How's our court? How do we measure up? It's fun even for us to look at the Pharisees and say, they just don't get it. But remember, before we got to do that, we saw Jesus' closest disciples, the inner circle, saying, well, what's in it for us? They also didn't get it. And lest we, the third party, those bearing witness to these events, follow in the same path, we have to ask ourselves, how are we doing? Is our understanding so shallow that we've never heard of these things? See, he went after what he knew they were aware of. Psalm 110, Messianic Psalm. Remember the Psalms of David when it called me son of David? Of course you remember. You just heard it a couple days ago. How could that be true? This is how Jesus taught through every one of the lessons that we've chased down so far. Nature presented opportunities for him to teach important doctrine. And so here, the voice of the people present an obstacle that they must address. Remember where he's at. He's not on a common street anymore. He's standing in the temple. Likely, this outer part here, the court of women. He's standing close enough that the court of Israel, those who love the high places that we talked about before, they should be able to hear and answer these questions. This is the place that many are commuting at this season to be taught. And he's illustrating for them, every day of this week, I had to start outside and cleanse the temple. If the outside of the temple looked like this, can you imagine what the inside is going to look like? That's what he could have said. His being of David's lineage was one of the fundamental articles in their beliefs about the coming Messiah. Listen to Psalm 89. And you might turn to the Psalms. We got a lot of them here. Psalms 89, verses 1 through 4. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. Turn over to Psalm 132. We're just going to read verse 11. Psalm 132, verse 11. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Isaiah. Let's consider the prophets. Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to Jeremiah next. Isaiah 9, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. We didn't read Isaiah 9:7 when we wrapped up Genesis, but remember we talked about the throne coming upon Judah and never ceasing, and we pointed then at the Lord Jesus Christ, and Isaiah is pointing there too. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. A few pages later, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. The answer to what man at that time probably would have called a riddle was incarnation. He had to be man. He had to be 100% man, and he had to retain 100% God. We've talked about this already a little bit, but now we're seeing the lesson in time. And it's so amazingly symbolic when you're staring at a map, right? Because Jesus didn't just teach this in the streets. He's standing now in the temple, somewhere in this first half of the temple, teaching them the most important lesson of the day, that I am the portion. It's the same lesson he taught the disciples days earlier. I am the portion. I am the solution. I am the answer to this riddle. I am God, and I am man, and I am about to keep marching west. To the mount, where I will crucify this flesh, where I will put to death, death for the elect of God. and I will do it outside the city walls, and I will do it in front of all who bear to look. And as it was laid out in John 3, like Moses when the brazen serpent was lifted, all who look upon me and believe shall be healed. What he should have heard, what we should hear in Baptist churches when that is proclaimed, is amen. Praise the Lord. My hope rests in thee. Like the psalmist, we should go on and on and on that this is our hope. But those who should have known were speechless. And the common people were glad. The Messiah is David's Lord because he is God. But he is David's son because he became man and was born into David's lineage. We're going to chase this down too. As I mentioned in this particular study, where we started, we're going to kind of end with as well. We have to go back and look at a lot of the introduction stuff. So we're going to stay in the New Testament for this part. But Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. For us, with our King James New Testament Bibles, it's right there. It's right in the very beginning of the New Testament. Look at Romans 1, verses 1 through 6. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 32 through 36, a very, very important chapter in Acts. If you have not read this, you should. Simon Peter laying it out for the audience of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and the results will amaze you if you've never read this chapter before. Acts 2, verses 32 through 36. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Quoting Psalm 110 again. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. We're going to keep going in Acts. Stay in Acts 13 is where we're headed next. But listen, Jesus didn't tell this truth in secret. He went right to the temple. I know there's some stubborn thinkers out there, hopefully not in here, but there's some stubborn thinkers out there that might come across this audio, and I want you to hear me. He didn't just present this to dull thinkers. He didn't whisper it on some back road. He went into the temple that was supposed to be built to honor him, and it was supposed to be kept to honor him, but they were selling outside like they had been told before not to, and he marches into the temple. He answers their questions as though he were 12 all over again, and then he asks one. And he points to Psalm 110. And Acts 2 points to him and Psalm 110. He says, I am he. Explain me. We might think, well, how could these men try to explain theology and blah, blah, blah? Well, this was their livelihood first and foremost. But he also was the one they were supposed to be looking for. He was the Messiah. See, we have an understanding looking back at these events, but they should have had an understanding looking forward to these events. That should scare you all, because we're also with them looking forward to some events. What misunderstandings do we have because we think we know the Bible? Have we read these things? Do we desire these things? Do we contemplate these things? Because they were sure fooled. God was standing in the temple that day. Acts 13, verse 22 and 23. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior Jesus. Amen. Revelation 22:16 says that Jesus is both the root and offspring of David. This question's a pretty big one, right? Because we've chased it down throughout the Old Testament and now all the way to the end of the New Testament. As the root of David, he brought David into existence. But as the offspring of David, David brought him into the world. Listen to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 through 15. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. This is God talking to his servant about David and his plans for that lineage. It's a long way ahead of where we're currently at as we're chasing down the promised seed, but the promised seed is referenced there. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. We've got probably four more, so if you're getting weary, I apologize, but we're coming to the end. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Be a good study to chase down those spirits referenced there. Notice that he did not specifically call on them to answer the question, who am I? It's not because it would have been too on the nose. They had proven through all their controversial questions they didn't know who he was. So he's now going back to a more basic question. Who is this Lord or Son and or Son of David? Answer that. He's proven to them they don't recognize God as he stands before them, but he's also proving that they weren't prepared to receive the Messiah. They weren't even prepared to recognize the Messiah. They weren't even prepared to conceive how there could be a Messiah. He went to their head knowledge and asked them to decipher how these things could be explained. How indeed could they ever be fulfilled? He's going to do the same thing one day to all the heavy thinkers that we have in 2024. All of those who are so high-minded, so collegiate and scholastic that they have walked away from the Baptist faith, pursuing numbers, pursuing acclaim. And God will ask them probably one of the most simple questions, and they won't be able to answer it. Do not forsake the first love. Do not forsake being a simpleton in God's house, devouring the steak of his word. This is what we're called to. We're not called to have all the knowledge. We're called to pursue after him. This is what we're measured by, as we said this morning. Remember that before the time of Jesus, many false messiahs had arisen who encouraged others to follow them to disastrous ends. We've mentioned one already, but listen to Psalm chapter 5, verses 36 and 37. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas, this one we've talked about. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. He's the one that I said was likely the one that they said the blood was mingled with the sacrifice. Many commentators believe it was this Judas. Psalm 110 that we read earlier, as well as Isaiah 53:10, that says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. And Psalm 22, which we shall read in a moment, these all three give description of a spiritual kingdom. It's not the first time he's taught it, but he's being very direct, and he's in the temple, y'all. It was a very big deal. He's in the temple. Can you imagine as those common folk were glad? Remember outside of this court? Outside of the court of women where he's likely standing is the court of the Gentiles. They've never heard any of this. Many of these folks don't even understand it, but they've never heard any of this. They're left speechless. They're found happy. They're found glad. What's our mission? Is our mission to straighten out those in the court? Speaking metaphorically now. Or to see the people glad, to present to them Jesus, to show them and illustrate for them the fruit of the Spirit that we have been blessed with. Psalm 22, we're just going to read verses 22 to 31. This is the last one you have to look up. Psalm 22, verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. That's repentance hidden in the psalm there. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. I love Psalm 22. You've heard it quite often. The self-righteous Pharisees and the politically minded Sadducees did not recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of their cherished messianic prophecies as a result of not seeing these spiritual fulfillments. This is still the preacher who came and overthrew the tables. I pray that we're not found so angry at the tables that we set up that never should have been, that he overturns. Remember this morning we talked about that small southern wind. And here it's one small short question that upsets the apple cart, as my grandma would say. That's going to happen. If any one of us has our understanding set upon earthly things or things of the flesh, this is going to happen. Praise the Lord. He thinks so much of his elect to send a southern wind or a small question, a still small voice even, to straighten us out or to clear the tables. Think about where those tables were. Here's the court of Gentiles. They're not allowed in here. And what stands between them is a marketplace before Jesus comes. A marketplace where the Israelites are losing money on the exchange rate. Some of them having to buy the sacrifice there because the chief priests who are here, who live in the real high areas in the upper city down here, they're telling them the sheep they brought with them for such a great journey is not fit. You have to buy one of ours. They're being extorted and robbed from and lied to. And after fully answering their questions and stumping them with his own, Jesus left his antagonists in silence. And the common people heard him gladly. Have you heard and believed? The gospel is very simple. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is 100% man and 100% God, came down from the right hand of the Father. A royal place, a majestic place. And he experienced temptation like we had, but never succumbed. And he never spoke against what he came to do. It was always the Father's will above all else. I want you to think for a moment where we read over and over and over again, he went to pray. This Mount of Olives, you think he could see where that cross was going to be from there? Every time he went to the Mount of Olives, he could look back at the temple and see religion where it shouldn't be. And he could see the place where he would say it is finished. Every single time. Every time. You think of the other things, and you can see it on the map there. You think of the other things that took place in or near Jerusalem. We can see Mount Carmel up right underneath a word I'm not going to try to pronounce because Rebecca will laugh at me. P-T-O-L-E-M-A-I-S. Somebody can tell me later. There's a mount where Elijah had his breakdown. He says, I'm it. I'm last. There's no one else that's serving you. And the Lord says, there's more than you will ever imagine that have yet to bow the knee to Baal. The gospel is simple. You don't have to memorize the doctrines of grace. You don't have to understand insurlapsarianism, infralapsarianism. You don't have to know the chronological events of the gospel and what he came to do. All you need to know that is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the only truth, the only way, and the only source of life. You must believe that he is God. And you must repent. You must turn away from the path that you have been on. You must turn away from the path that you were born into and turn unto him. And day in and day out, continually repent, because you're going to fail. You're going to sin. John would blow you all away if he was back here today in the things that he has learned every week. I just read Esther, he said last week. I just read Esther. And I got to tell him some things he didn't know from a basic reading. And he says, you've got to be kidding me. Where's that at? I miss that. But that starts from a place of being a common person, finding Jesus, and being glad. You found him? Has he revealed himself to you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? We need to close with a song. Charlotte, do you have a song for us?